So let's just read through the psalm to get started. Fools say to themselves, there is no God. They're all corrupt, and they have done terrible things. There is no one who does what is right. Uh-oh, my batteries. Oak, what happened? The Lord looks down from heavens at us humans to see if there are any who are wise, any who seek him. But they've all gone wrong. They're all equally bad. Not one of them does what's right, not a single one. Don't they know, asks the Lord, are all these evildoers ignorant? They live by robbing my people, and they never pray to me. But then they'll be terrified, for God is with those who obey him. Evildoers frustrate the plans of the humble, but the Lord is their protection. How I pray that victory will come to Israel from Zion. How happy the people of Israel be when the Lord makes them prosperous again. So we're going to go through this psalm, and we're going to go through it like a kid eats an Oreo, okay? We're going to start with the middle. We're going to start with the creamy middle, okay? We're going to look first at verses 2 through 6. Understand the context, and look at a very key distinction in there. And then we'll save the chocolate cookie outsides for last, because honestly, those are the best parts of an Oreo, if you ask me. The cocoa they put in that is so good. All right, you can't beat them. You can't beat them. So then we'll look at verse 1 and then verse 7. Taint working again. Okay. Here's the middle. Then we'll just look at a couple of verses to get a feel for the middle. When you'll get those two verses, verses 2 and 3, you read that, and the first thing that comes to our Christian minds is that we're just, this is just something that we might hear from the Apostle Paul in Romans 3, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But if you look at the rest of these things, David makes a key distinction. And one of the things I want to talk about, and Holly told me maybe not to cover this, but I just got to do it, is... you know, I look at apologetics and making arguments for the faith. One of the things that you learn if you do a logic course is looking for illogical fallacies. One of them is somebody that tries to make a distinction where there really is no difference. It's called a distinction without a difference. For instance, this is the definition of it up here, the assertion that one position is different from another based on the use of language when, in fact, both propositions are the postpositions are the same. This is a political season that we're in. You probably heard this one, right? Lots of times. I am personally opposed to abortion, but I believe in a woman's right to choose. And you read between the lines, and basically what you get is, I think it's okay to kill the babies. It's just probably I wouldn't, at least not right now. All right, so the distinction without a difference. Don't get fooled by that. However, what David does for us in Psalm 14, is he does assert that there is no difference, but he makes some key distinctions. If you look through some of those things in the middle part, 2 through 6, you see that he talks about evildoers and fools. They don't do right, but my people, or the humble he refers to them as, they seek God. He calls the evildoers ignorant. Are they ignorant? Don't they know? But he also talks about his people praying to the Lord. He'll say that the evildoers rob his people while the humble obey him. And then he talks about their end. He says, in the end, the fools and evildoers will be terrified. But my people are the humble. The Lord is their protection. And the point I wanted, the distinction I wanted to see that, want you to see that he made, is that while we're all equal at the foot of the cross, but it makes a huge difference on how we act and what we believe in the world that we live in. So even though we're all sinners, we know that, these distinctions are key for our life here and now. So now, we can get to the first chocolate cookie outside. All right? Fools say to themselves, there is no God. I'm going to pull three things out of those four words. First, or out of those few words. First, fools. You know, in ancient Hebrew, the word fool really doesn't apply to that jester figure. When you're talking about fools in the Old Testament, you're never really talking about somebody that's stupid. You're talking about people who are immoral mostly. It's mostly a foolishness in the moral sense. So remember, when we're talking, when you see this word fools and we're talking about it this morning, we're talking about people who are lost, not stupid. The next thing is fools say to themselves. And it's really interesting. We're all born with the image of God implanted on our hearts and spirits. And it takes effort to talk yourself out of that. Don't be fooled. It takes effort to talk yourself out of that. And so they have to say it to themselves. There is no God, there is no God, there is no God, to make it go away. And the funny thing is, they say it to themselves, particularly if they're like politicians. They'll all stand up and act like they believe in God in front of you. But they are just saying it. But they're keeping their thought about there is no God to themselves most of the time. And they do terrible things. And here's one, I just found this picture this week and it was so disturbing to me. There are people out there right now, in these protesters, and I said this, I don't know how many of you I said this to back a couple of months ago. I said, this thing that's going on in our country feels to me like the French Revolution, where they just, anything sacred is being torn down, anything good is being covered by evil. And then I saw this, and they're out there, they've done it more than a Jeff Bezos house. They've built one in effigy and actually lopped off Trump's head in effigy. This thing is coming, and it's, imagine that they're at the doorstep, okay? But I want you to forget this. I want you to never forget this. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we too were by nature deserving of wrath. We're all the same at the foot of the cross. It just matters what you do with Jesus. It matters what you do with the Lord, with God. So, what are some signs to help you detect some fools in this coming summer and fall? The first is you're going to learn that truth is relative, that narrative is supreme. How many times do you hear people talking about narrative? Nobody talked about narrative 5 years ago, did they? I mean, the only time you heard about narrative is when somebody was explaining, you know, the different genres of the Bible and said, you know, we got some poetry and we got some epistles and we got some narrative in the Bible. You know, it's the only place that, you know, you really heard it before. But now every news story is narrative, right? And then this key point that there is no God. So I'm just going to give you a couple of examples of these things, and then I'm going to spend some time talking from the heart. Here's a good one. There are no absolutes, of course, except that one. You're allowed to say, there are no absolutes, absolutely. And have talked yourself into such foolishness that you don't see that you're just immediately cut off the limb you're standing on when you said, there are no absolutes, in an absolute sense. Then we've also heard these things. A man is a woman, a looter is a protester. I thought that was a beautiful one, this fiery but mostly peaceful protest they put up on CNN the other night. I understood it. Somebody went over and beat the guy and corrected that one in about 10 minutes, but they was rolling by for about 10 minutes. We could go on and on with things about relative truth. But I think one of the things that come from, well, one of the things that behind the technique that is being used against us is this thing that's been called the illusory truth effect. Okay, there's been some studies, lots of studies. Now, these two here, just the findings in them were pretty good, that people have the tendency to believe a falsehood after repeated exposure. And the key one is that familiarity can overpower rationality. And what's interesting is 200 years ago, this guy knew that. This guy that came out of the French Revolution. Of course, revolutions, you say, but he was a dictator, you know? That's right. Revolutions always end up with dictators or at least oligarchies, you know, the party or something like that. He taught this. He made this quote. He said, there is one technique in rhetoric that is of serious importance, namely repetition. And that means whereby a repeated affirmation fixes itself in the mind in such a way that is accepted in the end as a demonstrated truth. And if you turn on the TV, if you're watching the network news, people are just blowing you all the time with this. They're just repeating stuff over and over and over, hoping that it'll fix in your mind as a demonstrated truth. For instance, now I'm getting ahead of myself. Here we go. All that matters is saying the things, anything, that supports your point of view and saying them over and over and over and over and over again. And it doesn't matter if it contradicts what you just said. It doesn't matter because all that matters is what you're saying about your point of view. They don't even acknowledge when they make contradictory things. For instance, this last month or two, we've heard a lot about protests are permitted under the First Amendment. And you can see the text from the First Amendment there that says, Congress shall make no law abridging the right of the people to peacefully assemble. But then they say, churches can't meet. Well, when, 20 words earlier in that First Amendment, it says Congress shall make no law respecting established religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And if your narrative is shut the churches and stand behind the thugs, you'll just say that and it won't even bother your conscience. You got none left. And then we get to there is no God. I don't know if you're watching TV Thursday night, but Franklin Graham was on there and he prayed. And one of the things he just said very early in his prayer is, Father, we need your help. And he followed up with two or three more lines like that. We need your help. But our lovely news media, this guy, the brother of the New York governor, Chris Cuomo, his response was, hey, if you do the right thing for yourself and your country, things will get better in this country. You don't need help from above. And he put his finger up and pointed it up like that. He said, you don't need help from above. And kind of just bearing the soul, there is no God, right? And not really caring. But the question I got to him is, hey, if there is no God, who gets to choose what's right, what the right thing is? The idea that there can be moral absolutes is meaningless without God. You can't define right and wrong except in who's got the power to make the rule today. And that's all you're left with. So our media has let us down. So why has America gone mad is what I want to talk about and ask ourselves, how did we get here? And I'm going to say, part A, a lot of fools have said to themselves, there is no God. Now, you poll America, you still got more than half of people say there is a God. Turns out it doesn't take but a ticking over a certain much smaller percentage of people who are going to be willfully defiant to God to really impact the rest of the people. Because people who believe there is a God tend to focus on the fruits of the spirits and love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness. They don't allow themselves to tumble into this mind games and the evil. And it's hard to respond. But that's how we let them take over, okay? They've emptied out a lot of things in our society. And I'm going to talk about what we need to do. We got to take America back, or we're going to give something awful to our progeny. So here's the last chocolate cookie. We got hope, though. We've got hope. All right? And this particular version said, I pray that victory will come to Israel from Zion. A lot of other translations actually said, victory will come to Israel from Zion, and the righteous will rejoice, and the people will be glad. And so obviously pray is one of the things we got to do. But there are some other things that we have to take upon ourselves as believers if we want to end up with the America that we know and not some dictatorship or totalitarian socialist regime. It's really important that we do this, and we got to bring our Lord back into the public square. So let me just talk to you for a minute. Why has America gone mad? We already looked at the fact fools said there is no God. And over the last several decades, we've allowed these people to take over key institutions. I mean, the news media has just become a corporate scam. They'll put on all the fringe stuff. I read an article where some woman, a producer at MSNBC, resigned, said she couldn't take it anymore, that the network forced them to put all the fringe and all the wacko stuff on at the exclusion, and make journalists make very bad decisions every day on not reporting on the whole, the totality of what's going on, but only doing the negative stuff. News media has become a corporate scam. Point I won't get into, but I think it needs to be made. The legislature has abdicated lawmaking and turned it into an Orwellian bureaucracy that has blurred all the lines of distinction and the separation of powers that the Constitution does. You got things like the EPA. Congress just created the EPA. They can make the rules, and then they can go out and decide if you violated them. And if you violated them, they can decide how much to fine you. We have the lawmakers have abdicated this stuff, but we've got bureaucracies now that are judge, jury, and executioner all in one. And it's just, it's something that has gone bad because people without a God to temper their thinking gravitate to power. Just got to have power. And let's just say this, half, or maybe even more, maybe, of our political establishment, from the mainstream media right through to the Antifa thugs that we see around their country these days, they become a lawless, anti-American Marxist movement hostile to the individual freedom, to our individual freedom, and dedicated to the destruction of our Judeo-Christian-based founding ideals. And make no mistake, the founding ideals of America are very, very Christian in their, people like to say, oh, Jefferson was just a deist, and Franklin, he was a, you know, but the rest of those guys, they built the stuff in there based on what they knew of the Lord and what they knew of Scripture. And you know what? And all of this, they say, is in the service of the poor and minorities and whatnot, but you pay a little bit of attention to it, you look at it for some length of time, and you learn that they're really just serving the elite class. They're really just serving the political establishment, university faculty, the network execs, tech executives, and other billionaires. So the question is, do I think this is the end of America? I'm painting a pretty bleak picture here, right? No, we got a chance. But we have to look at ourselves and know where we went wrong. And specifically, when we're in the public square, we got to ask ourselves, do we still believe in this Creator who endowed us with our rights? Because if we don't, they're forfeit. Okay, they're forfeit. They make no sense without God. You can't say all men are endowed by their Creator if you don't believe that. You know, it is an important distinction that has to be repeatedly brought out. Okay, if we do believe, how are we going to bring them back into the public square in our now empty institutions? And let's face it, we're not talking here about making a theocracy or even go thumping people with Bibles, okay? We can't. That stuff's not going to work. It won't win against that materialist techno-aristocracy that's out there. They can get their propaganda out immediately, and they own the means of distribution in terms of all the public, in terms of all the social media. And they can use their virtue signaling to cancel our message, to censor our message. So we have to just, where we are every day, bring the truth to the people we meet and work with, live with. And if we don't fearlessly begin reasserting the truth about the God of our founding, and if we can't begin to speak with him with reason and with joy, this is the key. Don't bring God to people as though he has got these rules you got to follow. Bring him to people as though you can know the Creator, the one who gave you these unalienable rights. Because otherwise we'll have no argument against the tyrants that are on the march. And the only way to stem the tide of this lawlessness and social atheistic rule is to stage one of the guys that influences me, a guy named Andrew Klavan, says, stage the second coming of our faith. Our nation was founded on our faith, but it needs to be refounded on faith, and that's our task. Here's where I'm guilty. So many people, believers, have tried to redeem or recapture our heritage, but don't want to bring God into the picture. We just want to talk sense, common sense, and we don't actually bring the name of the Lord into the discussion. And turns out that ends up being a fool's errand. Because if you don't have a God that makes everyone created equal, then the discussion can't even begin, because the person who shouts loudest, the person who says their falsehood the most, is going to take over. And we have to remind people that these rights come from God. God has created us equal. Just bring them back, soften them back up by letting them know that there is a creator in the world. And we're made in his image. And one of the things you really want to point out is this, and this is the beauty of our founding documents, our rights are pre-political. Remember, the Declaration of Independence says rights don't come from government, rights come from God. And it's government's job to make sure the people's rights are protected. Those rights get protected. It's not government's job to give and take rights. It's government's job to make sure that all your rights remain yours. And they come from God on high. And when you're talking with people, you don't even have to push. You don't even have to push Christianity. You just got to push that there's a God above, all right, to start this conversation, to start this conversation. You know, it's interesting. There are lots of Christians out there who are proclaiming this truth. And even a few of conservative Jews are out there making our case with us. And while we know that Jesus is the way to the Lord, don't break off alliances with people who do understand the truth of God's word and who want to bring it to us. There's also, let me just say that when it comes to discussions of rights, and there was one last fall when the Secretary of State produced a report on unalienable rights. And, you know, he said, interesting, somebody from the current administration, if you ask them about unalienable rights, they came up with a list that included religious rights and property rights right at the top. And of course, the left was fuming because they wanted to see things like social rights and reproductive rights and gay marriage and all those other rights listed up there with the key rights. You know, and it just turns out that it doesn't even matter if you agree or disagree with those social right things. If you don't have religious rights, you can't even have the discussion about the second rights. Because if you don't have the fact that all men are created equal and all have an equal voice in the discussion and that truth matters, you just can't even begin to talk about these other things. That's how the world gets crazy, because nobody does know what's right if we've left God out of the conversation. And we know that those things are based in God, the first tier rights. And the interesting one is the line was, they were accused of putting religious rights above everything else. And the response came back, no, religious rights are below everything else, because without that foundation, everything crumbles. And all you have to do is look what's happening in our cities right now. What's really interesting is, and I hadn't considered it this way, but somebody brought this to my mind recently, you know, there's always barbarians at the gate. You know, this sector of people that are out there doing looting, burning, and whatnot, they weren't whipped into this mindset in the last, you know, in the course of an hour or two screaming lecture by somebody back in May, all right? They've always been there. But it is when you have law and order in your society and a picture of God in your mind that those kind of things get subdued. And when you take that away, when you say we're going to defund the police and people should... I actually saw a guy say, he was talking about a rape victim. He says, why do you want to call the police? Don't you want to call somebody who can counsel you? Why do you want to call somebody that what their main training is how to use a firearm? What do you want to call that for? And nobody thought to ask him, well, this guy also knows how to investigate a rape and get on the trail of that guy who's already raping somebody else if I'm not on his trail. The things are, well, anyway, leave that as it may. What's really appalling is that people don't realize that what we have, when you say all men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and they're all created equal, and you say we hate racism, we believe in God-given rights, you kind of reach the pinnacle of political thought, all right? There really is nothing better than to say we're all equal in God's sight here, and that's how we're going to treat each other. How can you get any better than that? I mean, obviously, there's always little tweaks here and there, but if a progressive comes along and says, we got to move forward, well, any move from a pinnacle is a move down. I don't care if you say you're going forward, backward, left, right, it doesn't matter. You're going down when you leave the pinnacle. And that's another point that we need to bring up, is that our founding documents, even though they've been attempted to be implemented by imperfect people, they stand pretty good, all right? A lot of time people say, oh, I hate God because I hate Christ because Christians are so bad. Well, don't blame Christ for his people. And we're all individuals. That's where we're all equal, at the foot of the cross. Look at the ideals. They are a pinnacle of political thought, our founding documents. What happens is that what really gets bad is when, and this is what we've seen, we've had all our leaders, half our leaders anyway, point to the looters and rioters and point to them and say, this is democracy at work. You know, it may be. I heard Ben Franklin made a nice, Ben Franklin was asked after they came out of the Constitutional Convention by some lady, sir, what have you given us? And the answer was, how many people know the answer to this? Oh, good. He said, a republic, if you can keep it. And that's where we live in right now. But at another time, he was asked to describe democracy. And he said, well, democracy is two wolves and a sheep discussing what they're going to have for dinner. And when you talk pure democracy, it's the people with the power that are going to rule things. Whether or not they got a majority, it's people with power. Our government was built as a republic where the power was spread across lots of different institutions, and made to let change happen slowly, because when the rule of law is applied and you have clear founding documents that specifically talk about great things, change will happen slowly. And this is the God-given gift that we have here in America. But when you got thugs and looters, law, constitution, what does that mean? They don't care. I don't care about that. That's when things can start to happen real fast. And, I've made a couple of references to the French Revolution, but from the storming of the Bastille, which was where everybody says, when they started letting the prisoners, when they stormed it to let the prisoners out, which is what is happening right now in America, to the Reign of Terror, where they were just lopping off Christians' heads in the streets every day as entertainment for the folks, was just 4 years. That only took 4 years for that to transpire. And we're letting people out of jail right now. So it's time to pray. It's time for you to speak. Just bring salt to the earth. And you don't have to beat people. You don't have to try and convict them. Let the Holy Spirit convict them. I don't need this one. I don't need that one. I don't even need that one. It's all stuff about how the evils of socialism. I don't need to get into that. I think you guys get that. But what do we have to do? We got to bring our Lord back into the conversation. And don't be confrontational about it. I've said that a few times already. If the conversation goes to rights, just make sure when you talk, you always say, our God-given, unalienable rights. Just bring that to the table. When you're talking even to your kids, oh, the good Lord gave you, no. You say, God gave you two good hands. No, don't even say that. Sometimes you might just say to your kids, you got two good hands, clean up your room. No, say to your kid, the good Lord gave you two good hands. Clean up your room. You know, just bring in that simple stuff that used to be an absolutely ubiquitous way of talking here in our land. Bring that back. And when you hear one of the most evil things of all that people say is, people are basically good. It's only the system that turns them bad. Say, no. What is happening to these cities? It was soon as we took away the constraints that the evil just leapt right out of people. And you got to know that nobody's watching you, I'll bet you do things that you're not very proud of. And you can bring it to these things and just bring God back into the conversation. And then the final thing, because, hey, guess this is 2020. The stakes are very high right now, very high. You're going to, honestly, I really do think about if I don't do what I can, my grandchildren may disdain me for what I left them, you know. And I really don't want that. And so you've got to use the one thing you got. You got the ballot. You got the vote. Search for the party platforms. Read them. Find the ones that match your most deeply held convictions, which I am sure in this crowd that I'm talking to are biblical. And realize that if you look to politicians for integrity and virtue, you're on a fool's errand. But you got to look at what the platform they're standing on says, and then you can swallow hard and pull levers if that's difficult for you. All right? But you need to. The Constitution starts with "We the people." Okay. You're in charge here in America still for a little while longer, maybe forever if we grow up and if we do take action. But it says "we the people." And if you're not voting, you're abdicating your responsibility. So it takes 20 minutes to register. And if you don't get up first thing in the morning, you may wait in line for 40 minutes. Every 4 years, every 2 years. This is not a cost that you have to that a big cost to pay, but there is an awfully big cost on the other side if you don't. Fools have said in their heart, there is no God. We have all been there, all fall short. We had a nation that had a balance and was moving forward, at least with a godly bedrock. We've allowed that to start to crumble, and we have to go back and put it back together. It's our job to do that. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful because you love us. You're a God who is full of mercy. And we ask for that mercy. We are not ashamed to say, Lord, we need your help. And we will call to you because we need your help. The truth that you'll hold us fast gives our souls rest. So we look to you both with that comfort and yet with the sense of urgency that we need to bring glory to you, to bring peace to our land through you. We confess our sins. We humble ourselves, and we ask that you restore our land. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.